Radio Prague News. The opposition parties have ruled out support for the government's financial reform package. The European Commission has fined the Czech Republic 12.3 million euros, and coalition leaders have urged the Christian Democrats to resolve the growing problem around Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek. The opposition Social Democrats and the Communists, who hold 100 of the 200 seats in Parliament, have ruled out support for the government's financial reform package. Social Democrat and former Finance Minister Bohuslav Sobotka says some of the proposed reforms could win approval if they're discussed independently, but the reform package as a whole is unacceptable. To the Communists, the government's package, which aims to slash taxes and public spending, only benefits the wealthy. Somewhat surprisingly, the plan also came under fire from the governing Civic Democratic Party's own ranks. Former Civic Democrat Finance Minister Vladimir Tlusty told journalists on Tuesday that he had serious reservations and would find it very difficult to raise his hand for it in Parliament. The European Commission has fined the Czech Republic 12.3 million euros, which is close to 350 million crowns. The fine was given because Czech traders stocked up on meat, fruit and rice before EU entry in order to sell them at a higher price once the country joined the Union. Prague was among eight other EU members that were penalized, but only Poland received a higher fine. The countries have 4 years to pay the money. Coalition leaders have urged the Christian Democrats to resolve the growing problem around Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek. At a late-night meeting of the governing coalition on Tuesday, the Civic Democrats and the Greens made it clear that Mr. Čunek's continued presence in government has become untenable and that the Christian Democratic Party should resolve the problem without delay. Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek, who's accused of corruption and is in trouble over recent offensive remarks he made during an interview for a Czech tabloid newspaper, has refused to resign despite growing pressure on him to do so. The cabinet has approved the delivery of 12 helicopters to Afghanistan. The 6 Mi-17 transport and 6 Mi-24 combat helicopters are currently being repaired and modernized at the Malešice base. The Czech Republic was asked to donate the decommissioned aircraft last year to develop Afghanistan's air force and help in providing humanitarian aid to inaccessible areas. NATO is covering all costs, which are expected to amount to hundreds of millions of crowns. February saw the highest monthly trade balance surplus in the country's history, according to preliminary data from the Czech Statistical Office. Exports and imports grew by 19.5% and 14.5% year-on-year respectively, and the trade balance amounted to 13.6 billion crowns, which is 8.8 billion higher than in February last year. The figures were mainly influenced by a 3.4 billion crown increase in the trade surplus in machinery and transport equipment and by a 3.3 billion crown decrease in the trade deficit in mineral fuels, lubricants and related materials. Trade unions at the biggest car manufacturer in the country, Škoda Auto, are on strike alert to pressure management into a pay rise. The company posted a net profit of 40% last year, and its workers are now calling for a 24% raise. Škoda Auto has over 26,000 employees. And we end the news with a quick look at the weather. The next few days are expected to be warm and sunny, with day temperatures between 10 and 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Dita Asiedu, and that's the end of the news.
This is Colleen O'Connor and you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Today, the government releases details of its new fiscal reform package, but has it any chance of being approved by Parliament? Czech war hero Antonín Špáček has died. We assess his life and legacy. A society on the go. Less than a week after Starbucks announced they are coming to the Czech Republic, we look at the country's booming coffee drinking market. And later, in this week's Spotlight, we visit Prague Airport, which turns 70 this week. Stay with us for this and more. The Czech coalition government on Tuesday unveiled a package of ambitious tax reforms and spending cuts, aiming to reduce the country's fiscal deficit and prepare it for the adoption of the euro. Among other measures, the plan introduces a flat 15% personal income tax and raises the lower VAT rate from 5 to 9%. The reform package will be presented to Parliament in June. However, the centre-right government of Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has no guaranteed majority in the lower house. Paula Horáková has more.
The government says their reform comes at the 11th hour. It claims that under current legislation, in 2009, state budget revenues would be lower than mandatory expenditures. The new reform package is expected to benefit the highest earners as well as those with the lowest incomes, while targeting free riders, as Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek called them, that is, people preferring to rely on state welfare rather than actively seeking employment. The plan has been criticized from the left as being too strict on the lower and middle income classes, as well as from the right as not going far enough. Jiří Dolejš is an MP for the opposition Communist Party.
The fundamental problem of the proposed reform is that it underestimates the effect of the increase of indirect taxes on the one hand and social spending cuts on the other. That, in my opinion, is going to affect a substantial part of the population.
But the fiscal reform package is facing tough criticism from the Civic Democrats' own ranks. Former Finance Minister Vlastimil Tlustý says the result is a watered-down version of an original Civic Democrat reform proposal, and he's not even sure if he will vote for it in Parliament.
At the moment, I'm definitely not happy with the reform. It looks like a Civic Democrat reform, but it's no such thing. One single figure has been left in it, and that is the 15% tax, and everything else is different. On top of that, it won't work. I would call it a mock-up, not a reform.
Economists in general agree that the reform is a step in the right direction, but doesn't go far enough. Economist Tomáš Sedláček of ČSOB Bank lists what, in his view, are the shortcomings of the proposed package.
The disadvantages are that it will not bring a serious reduction in the budget deficit, and other disadvantages that it will be carried extensively by mid-income workers. And I quite apologize, one of the strongest advantages is the decrease of the expenditure side of the government budget.
The current coalition government of the Civic Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Greens would like to see the changes in place as of January 2008. The package should be presented to Parliament in June, where the government does not have a guaranteed majority. The opposition Social Democrats have already said they were willing to approve only individual parts of the reform, such as cuts in corporate tax, but would refuse the package if it were presented as a whole. With no secure majority in the lower house and one coalition MP already threatening to vote against the fiscal reform proposal, it seems the cabinet will be in for some tough negotiations ahead of the vote.
One of the Czech Republic's greatest Second World War heroes, RAF pilot Antonín Špáček, died on Thursday at the age of 89. Daniela Lazareva looks at the career of a man who spent his life serving his country and who remained true to his principles in the face of great adversity.
Born in 1917 in the town of Hradčany, Antonín Špaček grew up dreaming of becoming a professional soldier. He was a lieutenant in the Czechoslovak army when the war broke out, and he left his homeland via the so-called Balkan route, going through Hungary, Yugoslavia and the Middle East to join the Free Czechoslovak units in France. He fought in France and later served in Britain's RAF, returning to Normandy on D-Day with an armoured Czechoslovak brigade. Military historian Edvard Stehlík says that Špaček was a soldier his country should have been proud of.
Antonín Špaček was a man who always thought of others first. Before he left the country, he was active in the resistance and undertook several very dangerous missions in Slovakia. And when he fought abroad, he created a home base for other Czechs and Slovaks who served with the Allies. He was a truly courageous person.
While in Britain and France, Antonín Špaček was a respected war hero, he received no recognition at home. In 1948, the communists took power in his homeland, and the role of Czech pilots who served in the RAF was played down because they had fought in the West. Špaček attempted to flee the country with his family in order to avoid communist persecution, but only his British-born wife and child managed to get out. Antonín Špaček was sentenced to 10 years in a show trial and was sent to work in the country's uranium mines. More than half a century was to pass before he gained recognition. On the 60th anniversary of the D-Day landings, he was awarded the Legion of Honour by President Jacques Chirac, and last year he received the highest Czech state distinction from President Klaus, the Order of the White Lion. However, beside the medals, there was little else. In an interview for Radio Prague in 2001, he complained bitterly that 56 years after the war, society had little interest in giving its heroes a dignified old age.
Most of us are around 80 years. I'm 86, and many of us are alone. We need some help in our old age, and nobody cares about it, you see.
Although he had reason to complain about the years of persecution and neglect, the thought uppermost in Antonín Špaček's mind was to leave a legacy for the young generation.
The other thing is how to carry the ideas of our tradition to the young generation, because the problem is that the teachers don't know about it. They were educated during the communist regime. They never heard about it. There are some remarks very often who say, for the last time the Czech soldier fought, it was at White Mountains. They never fought. They were covered and so on. And they don't acknowledge us. We were the only army among the group of allied armies who were composed of voluntaries. The fight against the Nazis was fought here in Czech lands. We have to persuade our young generation to keep in mind that the Czechs are not cowards, and they know how to fight and when to fight for the independence and for democracy. And that's what we would like to leave after our death to our young generation.
Major General Antonín Špaček, who died on Thursday. Ending that report by Daniela Lazareva. Not so long ago, if you wanted to grab a coffee in Prague or any other Czech city, you could only really do so at a rather grim, old-fashioned cafe or restaurant. But now times have changed. In recent years, both international and local coffee chains have been opening more and more shops here. Chains like Coffee Heaven and Chibo are now offering consumers a wider range of better products and services than before. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Coffee shops in the Czech Republic, Prague in particular, are booming. In recent years, international operators on the market like the British Coffee Heaven or German Chibo, as well as homegrown franchises like Café Emporio, have made increasing use of new possibilities, offering customers better services. Now, there are more outlets from more brand-name companies to choose from than ever, both in the city center and in the suburbs. I spoke to Karel Mayer, a consultant for the Incoma Market Research Agency.
The market in the Czech Republic is growing rapidly and still has a lot of potential, and that is good news. It's one of the fastest-growing areas within the gastronomy industry. A lot of the success has had to do with the building of new shopping centres allowing for newer coffee outlets. That has had an impact. The lifestyle has also changed greatly. Czechs now spend more time on the go, more time shopping and spend more money. If you look at an average income family, it can spend the whole day at the mall, which includes going to the cinema and a cafe.
According to Karel Mayer, 2004 to 2006 were crucial for the market, with the number of cafes in the Czech Republic more than doubling. Latest trade figures show there are 1,700 cafes in the Czech Republic today, compared to 800 in 2004. And it won't end there. Last week it was announced that the international Starbucks chain would enter the market next year. I asked analyst Karel Mayer about the possible impact.
There is still plenty of room for new development, and I don't think the entry of the new chain will be negative. A new player entering the market will influence the chains already here and force them to renew focus on quality, services and overall atmosphere. All factors that are important for brand name cafes. One interesting aspect overall is that Czechs have gotten used to drinking coffee from paper cups. Although coffee to go will probably never catch on like in some countries, Czechs don't mind the cups when combined with overall pleasant service. Analyst Carol Meyer, ending that report by Jan Wellinger. If you've just joined us, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, Prague Airport celebrates its 70th birthday on Thursday. In our latest edition of Spotlight, Pavla Horáková pays a visit to this venerable transport hub.
Terminál Sever 1. Vítejte na letišti Praha. Od lety do
Welcome to Prague Airport, located just east of the capital. All it takes is a 30-minute metro and bus ride from the centre of Prague to get to a place which connects the Czech capital with the rest of the world. Where there were fields just a few decades ago, you get off the bus in the middle of a steel and glass airport city. It's hard to believe that the history of the Prague airport goes back 70 years. Eva Krejčí is the airport's spokesperson.
Všechno to začalo před 70 lety, 5. května 1937.
It all began 70 years ago, on April the 5th, 1937, at what was then Prague Ruzyně Airport, which was located south of here. It's today's South Terminal. The first aircraft to land here was a Douglas DC-2 on a 9 a.m. domestic flight from Pěštany to Prague via Zlín and Brno. An hour later, the first foreign company made a landing here. It was an Air France flight on its Vienna-Prague-Dresden route. While at that time the number of passengers in 1 year was in the thousands, today we count in millions. In 2006, more than 11.5 million people used our airport, and we assume that in 2020 it will be 20 million passengers.
20 milionů pasažérů během jediného roku.
I'm standing on a new lookout terrace, which is part of the new Terminal North, just as a Czech Airlines Boeing is slowly coming to a stop. Unfortunately, I can only see a small part of the runway, as new airport buildings block the view.
Ta původní zástavba byla v tom jižním areálu, v současné době je tam terminál.
The oldest part of the airport is today's South Terminal, where the flights of state officials take off. The newest parts are North Terminal 1 and North Terminal 2. The latter was finished last year. It was an ambitious project which enables us to process a large number of passengers from the Schengen zone. Prague Airport is something we call an airport city. Apart from the terminals and two runways, there are many hotels, shops, refreshment spots, parking spaces and so on.
Obchodů, parkovacích zařízení a tak dále.
You would hardly tell that this state-of-the-art compound is celebrating 70 years, actually today. Eva Krejčí of Prague Airport.
Samozřejmě, že připravujeme narozeninovou party ve 70.
Of course we're preparing a birthday party. 70 is a venerable age. But our airport is not some frail old man. We're a modern international airport. Close to our lookout terrace, we're opening an exhibition on the history and present-day development of the airport. People can see period photographs and documents, as well as a model of an historic aircraft. We'll also have an exhibition of modern airport equipment and machinery. On April the 5th, we'll start building the largest mosaic in the world, which will partly be a charity project.
Protože se jedná o charitativní projekt.
Dear passengers, please kindly pay attention and check your departure terminal. Thank you.
I was enjoying the fact I wasn't flying anywhere and could just hang out around the airport, look at the new shops and watch passengers of all nationalities getting ready for their flights or breathing in the air of a new country for the first time.
Nejžavější novinkou letošního letního letového řádu je...
The hot news in our summer flight schedule will be direct flights from Prague to Atlanta in the United States. In all, we have 120 direct connections, the newest ones being Burgas in Bulgaria and Poprad in the High Tatras in Slovakia. Thursday is the busiest day at our airport. The busiest connections are London, Paris, Frankfurt, Amsterdam and Moscow. The destinations with the highest growth in the number of passengers are Milan, Rome, Budapest, Dublin and Brussels. The favorite destination is Great Britain. In the past year, over a million passengers flew from or to Britain.
A lot has changed in terms of security since the pioneering days of civil aviation, notably in the last 6 years. Eva Krejčí, spokeswoman of Prague Airport.
Pro letiště je samozřejmě důležitá i bezpečnost. Bezpečnostní opatření se...
Security is an important feature of any airport. For us, it is essential to combine comfort and services for passengers with security measures and make sure the measures cause them as little inconvenience as possible. Our security measures, of course, are just the same as those at all international airports in the European Union.
Jsou stejná jako na všech letištích v rámci Evropské unie.
But it's not always people with bad intentions that can put passengers in danger. Small animals on the runway or birds flying over airports can cause tragedies. For that reason, Prague Airport employs its own falconers.
A letiště Praha má svoji chovnou stanici, máme zde 12 dravců.
Prague Airport has its own breeding station. We have 12 hawks, 10 falcons and 2 golden eagles, and they make sure that aircraft and the airport are not threatened by wild birds and mammals.
Letadla neohrožovali jak ptáci, tak savci.
If you'd like to find out more about Prague's Ruzyně Airport, you can go to their website www.prg.aero, where you can also register for excursions to the underbelly of the airport, where ordinary citizens do not have regular access, and where visitors can get a look behind the scenes at how a major international airport is run. Tomorrow, on April the 5th, celebrations will get underway at Prague Airport to mark the 70th anniversary of the first landing at the Ruzyně. So, happy birthday, Prague Airport.
That edition of Spotlight by Pavla Horáková brings us to the end of the day's program. Now, I'd like to remind you about Radio Prague's listeners' competition. Anyone who wants to enter should send us an answer to the following question. Which Czech film do you remember most fondly, and why? The person who sends the best answer, which will be chosen by a specially appointed jury, will win a week-long stay for two people in the Czech Republic with flight tickets from a European destination. There will also be valuable prizes and souvenir items for other entrants. We'll broadcast the best answers and publish them on our website at www.radio.cz at the end of June. Answers should be sent by the 15th of June of this year to the following address: Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Or you can also send your entry by email to cr@radio.cz. The winner will be provided with a week's accommodation at the CMC Hotel near Prague. Travel to the Czech Republic will be arranged by Sky Europe, the Central European airline. And that's all we have for you today. Before I go, you can listen to, I'd just like to remind you that you can listen to transcripts of all our reports or listen to them on demand on our website at www.radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Colin O'Connor, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and take care.